Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
We are still continuing the series, Small Things, Big Difference. But before I do, I want to give you a praise, a word of testimony. How many of you remember back in the day, in the olden days, with churches, they had testimony time? Some of you probably know that, some of you might not. Well, testimony time was a time when people would get up in the church and they would say, this is what God has done for me. And it would start with a single person and it would start out slow, wouldn't it? And somebody would stand up and go, well, I just want to thank God for this. And the next thing you know, there'd be another person testifying. And then another person testifying of God's goodness. And it was like wildfire. And the next thing you know, the Holy Spirit would just come in because you're testifying of God's goodness. So I want to testify of God's goodness for just a minute. Can I do that? I've been moving. Some of you know me. I have a training business, and this is not a commercial, so just relax. And we're moving, and we're moving to a bigger space, and it's been very stressful. Shouldn't be. I'm just confessing. You know, I'm human. That it can be very stressful. And last week, it got to the point where I literally was like, okay, man, this is like kind of overwhelming and taking me over. And I was in the old building that we were still moving, and I laid down, I was by myself, and I laid down on a bench press, not to bench, but to just go, God, I don't know, man, this is really getting to me. I need your help. And I'm going to testify, literally, I had my phone plugged into my sound system, and my phone started ringing. Normally, I'd have been like, don't bother me. I'm laying on a bench feeling sorry for myself. And so I got up literally at that moment. I get up and I was saying, God help me. I got up from the bench and it was my daughter, Andrea, who I will call Sis because that's what I call her. So I answer it and it's my daughter. I'm like, yeah, hey, Sis, what's up? And she says, you know, something just happened. I've been worrying about you, and this feeling came over me, and I need to call you. And God said, I've got this. Wow. Listen, that's the kind of God that we serve. I'm laying on a bench, and I'm not lying, literally in moments time, the phone rings, and you have no idea the energy and the motivation to know that that was my God saying, amen, Larry, I got this, you're going to be okay. I needed that. That was a word in season, y'all. That was awesome. I'm so thankful that my daughter was obedient to go, this is probably silly, but I need to call my dad and tell him what just happened. That's true. Is that a true story? Literally. I mean, whoo, our God is more than able. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to get into the word here in a minute, but what we're going to talk about in small things, big difference, is habits / discipline. So hang on a minute, because when you think of habits, immediately, at least I, think of not good habits, but bad habits. When somebody says habits, how many of you, without a show of hands, like when you say habits, oh yeah, I got some bad ones, because we think of the negative first, don't we? Because we become sin conscious more than God conscious. See, habits. When we think of discipline, what we think of is somebody spanking, correction, right? Discipline, at least I do. You know, I can remember discipline. I can remember when I was young, and I wasn't the perfect child that most of you think that I was, but my mom would often, she was only about 4'10", and so not that I'm much taller, just saying, but I towered over her, and she would tell me when I would get in trouble, you need to go out and get a switch off the tree. How many of you, with a show of hands, can say, I can remember, oh, wow. Wow, awesome. So you guys get what I'm about to say. And when I first started, I would go pick out a switch, and it would be off, maybe off of a bush, like a burning bush or something like that. And I learned really quick, that was a whip. That was not a switch. I mean, that hurt, so I would pick something much bigger, like a log. Bigger was better. And I would pick a log off of a tree because it didn't hurt quite as bad for quite as long. So the word discipline, to a lot of us, immediately becomes correction, spanking, yelled at. Well, what I want you to know is that there are good habits and discipline. Most of the time in the Word, it talks about instruction. Isn't that great news? That is great news. So the difference is, when we talk about discipline in our lives, and this is going to help us today, the discipline is choosing. You might want to write this down for real. Put it in your phones, write it on paper, get it etched in you, because it's the truth about everything that we do in our life. Discipline is choosing between what we want now and what we want most. What does that mean? Well, let's start with what we want most, and we'll go into why I struggle with that. And there's someone in the Bible that did also, that I'm going to share a story with. What we want most. What is it that you want most? We all have we have life goals, some of us. You know, maybe it's a bucket list. Really, what a bucket list is, goals. You know, I would like to jump out of an airplane for some crazy reason, is beyond me. But I have that. Somebody, I don't, but you might have that bucket list. But that is a goal. We have lifetime goals. We have yearly goals. We have monthly goals. Maybe we have daily goals. And some of you right now are just minute goals. I can't wait till he gets done and this is over with. Just in a minute. I got a minute goal. I got to make it through this. So we have goals. So what happens is, those are maybe things that we want. Maybe it's our marriage. Maybe it's to stop smoking. Maybe it's to get out of debt. Maybe it's to get closer to the Lord. Maybe it's to be able to get out of debt, to save so that I am a giver. I know in our lives, we've always wanted to be the ones early in our lives. My wife and I, we were always the one that people gave to. And that was okay. You have to learn, actually, to be a cheerful receiver. And people would tell me, Larry, don't stop the blessing that I'm going to get giving you something. And my wife and I would always say, man, I want to be on the other end of that. You ever been there? I want to be on the other end of that. And here's why I'm saying that. Our goals should always have, now listen to me, our goals should always have attached to it something that has to do with God. Why do you say that? Well, my goal is, I just want a bigger home. It's just my wife and I, and we need 7 bedrooms, 4 baths, and 5-car garage. That's my goal. Well, we need to attach God to our goals, or they just become earthly goals. You know, the Bible says in Corinthians, Paul says that everybody runs a race, and it's to get a prize. That is a prize that will rot and decay and be gone. But we run for the prize that will last for eternity. Amen? Amen. So the deal is that we want to attach to our goals, whether you're young, middle-aged, older, whatever, wherever you're at in life, your goals should have attached to it with God. And here's why. So you want a bigger home. Why do you want a bigger home? It would be a great idea to attach a goal to that, so that God, give me this home, so that I can invite people in, that I'm able to share the love of Christ with them, and I can have as many people in this place as possible, if that's your goal. Not just to have a bigger house. I remember when I was younger, my goal as a person who was into fitness and weightlifting, my goal was, and a true story, I would wear, said, Jesus is my strength, and I would wear that shirt. I was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I said, you know what, God? If you can give me the strength, and it gives me a platform for people to come to you, I will always share your love always in my life. And you see, I attach, you know, is it that I just wanted to bench X amount of weight so that I could bench X amount of weight? It did feel good. That was nice. And the trophies that came with it and the things that I did. But I never forgot the reason why I asked God to give me that ability. And he did. And I was faithful in asking him, and he was faithful in me asking him to me saying, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because really, my motive was not lifting weights at all. It's still not lifting weights. I go places sometimes and hang out places just so that I can have an opportunity. How can I get in that person's life? Whether I'm at River Road or whatever. So it becomes discipline. So it's about what we want. Is it now or is it what we want most? Sometimes it's about what we want now. I'm gonna tread on thin water. So maybe you wanna lose weight. Okay, I'm kind of an expert at that, a little bit. And what you want most is to lose weight, okay? Man, I wish I could lose weight. I wish I could lose weight. Well, without a plan, here's what happens. What we want now overrides what we want most. Man, I need to lose X amount of pounds. Oh, there's a donut. And that is gonna taste really good now. You see, without a plan to say, I'm not gonna do that, I'm not gonna do that, I'm not gonna do that. You see, what we want now sometimes gets in without a plan. If we don't have a plan and discipline in our lives when it comes to the things of God, I want to give more. Man, I want to be that person who gives. And then at church, I'm gonna say it. And then at church, comes time for the offering, and am I okay? Yeah. Okay, my wife said okay, so that's good. So, and then the offering, and then you're like, hey, taking everybody out to the steakhouse, and I didn't give a nickel to the offering. I know, hey, it's stepping on some toes, but I'm trying to help you with not the now, but what you want the most. If you want the most, then what you've got to do is if you want to get out of debt, it doesn't help that Black Friday said you need that $500 TV that normally costs $10,000, but it's only $500. I want it now. When you have a perfectly good TV. Come on, I'm preaching better, much better than y'all are amening me. Come on, that's true. Come on, this is gonna help you. This is gonna help someone today move forward with discipline. And that's true. You see, there was a gentleman in the Bible, Paul. And I gotta set up the stage for Paul. And it's in Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 15. And it goes something like this. If we understand the backdrop, Paul was going to talk, he was going to Rome, and he was going to talk to the Christians there. And he was actually going to introduce himself as Paul, because what we remember about Paul's life was this. Paul, his name was Saul, and it was changed to Paul by God. Saul used to persecute the Christians. He used to persecute the Christians. He had them stoned, murdered, because he didn't like Christians. And God stopped him on the road to Damascus and changed his life forever. So Paul was coming back to Rome and gonna say, hey, I wanna tell y'all, introduce you to me a little bit, who I am, or to you. And so what he said was, in the scriptures in Romans, he's communicating with them and he says, listen, I want to share with you guys, I have a problem. And this is what is really difficult with us trying to get the discipline part. How many of you have, to be honest, have trouble sometimes with discipline? I do. It's tough. When you set out and it's really, really tough. And I'm going to give you an antidote to that that's going to help you a lot. So what Paul says is this, man, I'm saved. I'm born again. Jesus Christ changed my life. But do you know what he says to the Christians in Rome? I have this problem. The things I know that I'm supposed to be doing, I just don't. And the things I know that I'm not supposed to be doing, I do. You ever feel that? See, I know what's right. I know I shouldn't eat that donut. And then the remorse sets in after you thought that now feeling was going to be so good with a chocolate-covered Long John, just one, and you eat it. I shouldn't have eaten that. It wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be, right? See, because of the most. See, Paul himself, Paul, who wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, had the same issues that we have. But he won't leave us hopeless. Paul ended up saying to the Christians in Rome, he said, "What a wretched man I am. What a wretched man I am. The things I'm supposed to do, and I know it, I don't. Things I'm not supposed to do, it seems I keep doing. What can save me from this?" And he says, "Thank God that Jesus Christ, my Savior, will deliver me from this." So what I want to submit to you today is it quit trying to quit yourself. Allow the power of the Holy Spirit through prayer, seeking God, His Spirit within you, to stop when you do that thing that you're doing. That's incredible. You know, this is kind of a neat thing. Dreams without goals remain dreams. So another thing you want to write down. This is good. I mean, these things, that dreams without goals are just dreams. And here's the one that is really powerful for me. Dreams without goals ultimately fuels disappointment. Anybody been disappointed? Here's my goal. I want to be able to do this. I wish I could quit smoking. I want my marriage to be better. I want this. I want to get out of debt. I need to lose weight. I wish I could do that. Here's a suggestion. Put some feet when you start setting goals. When you start setting goals, you won't have that fueled disappointment when you put some footwork to the goal that you have. To the goal that you have, put some footwork to it. Have a plan. Have an assessment. Here's how I'm going to get there. I wish I had a better marriage. Well, I get it. What are you going to do about it? It's tough. I understand. I mean, April's married to me. That's too bad for her. You know, it's tough sometimes. You didn't have to say amen, some of you that said that. Maybe it is that you need to lose weight. Well, you can't just say, you know, I used to tell my clients, I wish. I'm going to lose this much weight, and here's how I'm going to do it. I've got a plan. Because without a plan, you will fuel disappointment. We've got to have a plan, even in following God. You know, I wish I knew more of God's word. I wish I knew more of God's word. Not trying to be obnoxious. Here's an idea. Read it. You know, and I know it's really kind of old school. I have a story, and this really wasn't even in my notes. My wife, was it yesterday that you got lost and you had to call Bryce? It's funny how the phone apparatus we have does everything but cook our food yet. So she's using her phone, and she typed in or probably spoke in to the phone and said, "Siri," or whoever is about to get me lost. Here's the address, get me there. So she's following it, you know, and it's kind of funny. She ends up calling me and says, "Hey, I'm almost in Pickerington, and I think this house is supposed to be where?" More towards Licking Valley. I would say that's lost. I would say that's probably lost. And I said, wow. So how is that working? Long story short, she had to call Bryce. And see, the new school is that we just use our phone, you speak into it, and Siri is going to help you find your way. Well, here's a thought. Anybody got a map? Hey, I know that's old school. Generally, most young people, you guys know what a map is? Not an app, but a map. It's this thing that you unfold, and it has directions and roads, and it's really weird and has all these veins running through it. Yeah, and it generally gets you to the right spot. So here's the thought. Why did I tell that story? Sometimes it's okay to listen to the, I don't know why I'm saying this. It's okay to listen to the Word of God, hear it through radio, hear it as an app, watch it on TV. But there are times you just have to need to go old school and break out that map that will direct you to where you need to be. Amen. That's good. That's good. That wasn't even in my notes, so that was absolutely free. Woo! All right. Keep track of your time, Larry. Training to win what matters most. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, Paul again says, isn't it true that everyone that we're running a race, we're in a race. Those that run, they train. They run a race. And they're seeking a prize. I'm not a runner. I actually despise running, and I admire those that do. I'm honest. I mean, I don't even like people that do marathons. Can I just stop for a minute? Those of you that do marathons, 26.2 miles, I don't even like to drive 26.2 miles. Wow. I have ADD. I'm squirreling it. I'm going to be not at the end of the finish line. I'm stopping. So I admire that. I've been to races to watch, okay? I remember watching my brother-in-law run the Columbus Marathon. Any of you ever ran the Columbus Marathon? Have you? Wow, awesome, great. I drove it once, yes, in a car. But I watched people as they finished the finish line, and what was amazing to me is not one of them that I could see had a 50-pound weighted vest on them when they ran the race. You get it? You see, sometimes we have weights that so easily beset our goals. See, Paul sums it up. He says, they all run races, and they got on certain gear, and they don't add any more weight than they need to run this race. What is it sometimes that so easily besets us with running this race, fueling this fire to serve God? What is it? What is it? You know, I ask you today, check your heart. I mean, there's no condemnation in God. You all know that. You guys know my heart, right? You guys know that. But what I want you to do is to look within and to say, you know what? What is it that is stopping my marriage? What is it that is stopping me from not being financially successful, connecting God to that so that I can give more? What is it that is stopping me from serving in the ministry? What is it that I can connect God to? What is it that's stopping me? And you know what? Today, I'm going to stop that. I'm going to connect with it. I'm going to see it. It's going to be revealed to me, and I'm not going to be the same person. Amen? Amen. Amen. I promise I'm about done. It's okay if we get done early, right? I figured you guys would jump on that one. But here's my thing. I'm going to switch to another word, and I promise, and we're going to close. Passion. I have a ring on that I bought. That's when, Andrea, you were working actually at the Christian bookstore, so I don't know how many years ago that was. 16 years ago. I've had that long, and my son hasn't stolen it. And it says passion. If you know anything about me, I'm about passion. I mean, I'm serious. I'm just going to be serious. If you ain't got passion to do something, then just get out. You know, you need passion. Anything that is successful in your life comes with passion. Here's how I'll show you. All I got to do is start talking to some of the guys about fishing. And that same guy that's sitting in the pew that you can't get to say two words. You start talking about fishing, and then all of a sudden it starts coming out. Oh, well, I was over at Hoover Dam the other day. Do you know that right now crap is running like crazy? And you, if you fishing down about 3 feet, because you go 2 feet, you ain't going to catch nothing. But you go 3 feet, and they're biting on minnows. They ain't biting on, you know. And all of a sudden, passion comes in. There's some passion. Talk about, guess what? Tomorrow is the first day of what? Hunting deer season. Go, boom. I want to go blow something up. I want to go kill something. I mean, you start talking to people about that, and then you can't even see them because those are camouflaged up. They're just gone. You can't even find them. I mean, that's they're painting their faces, man. They're getting into passion. I saw people yesterday with the high estate stuff, and they had passion, and I'm all about passion. But I will tell you this, we need to desire and seek the same passion for a living God who saved me from a life of sin, death, hell, and the grave, to have that same passion rise up inside of you and be like, whoa! And people say, what's wrong with you? And you're like, it's a living God that is consuming me like fire. Whoa! Oh, whoa! I mean, that's what you need. I mean, I'm telling you. See, that's what'll set people free. That's what'll set you free, is to be free. And who the Son has set free is free indeed. How many of you want to be free of disappointment, of discouragement, depression, and those things? You can be free. You absolutely can be free. Because here's this. True desire in the heart for anything good. I know I've given you guys some quotes today. I'm like Vince Lombardiism guy, as my son calls me. True desire in the heart. Now listen to this. For anything good is God's proof to you. Listen, I'm going to say it again. True desire in the heart for anything good is God's proof to you that it's yours already. Wow. What's in your heart today? What desire is in your heart? And hopefully you connect that with the God thing. Young people, always connect it with the God thing. Always. Well, I want to go to college. Why? I'm going to ask you why. Well, so I can get a degree. Why? So I can make lots of money. Why? You need to connect that goal with a God thing. And then you're always going to have your answer. Closing. Habits. This is going to help me, all of us. How do you spend your time? There's a habit. Ouch. I'm as guilty as y'all. How do you spend your time? 2 hours, 3 hours, 8 hours playing video games? You don't do that. I know you don't. Watching TV. Can I be transparent? My wife and I really have a problem. Okay? Not like that, but I like murder shows. Confession. I love Dateline. And you know, my wife will finally say at some point at night, hey, how much death do we need to watch tonight? I'm like, hon, you're right. It was like 2 hours of, you know, did he do it or did she? You know, one of those deals. I don't know. So there's things in our lives. What do we do? Because here's why. How you spend your time speaks volumes of the person that you are. You are generally committed to what you spend your time on. Commitment. What do you spend your time on? I want to close with a story that will help this church, absolutely, and everyone in it. I believe this is a church that as we're more and more seeking God, getting our discipline, getting our habits. See, because God's only going to move us so far. See, there's some things that we've got to do, believe this or not. You know, Jesus did say, hey, it is finished. But when he left, he gave us all the tools to do the things on this earth. He's given us the power, the authority through the power of the Holy Spirit to do the things of God, but things we have to do. There are things we have to, can you guys agree with that? We can't just stand here and, you know, it's just gonna happen. There are things, but he's given us the tools to do that. And I believe we're gonna change this city, the town, the county, the state for Jesus Christ by doing small things. Listen, it's the small things that you do in your life that make the biggest changes. Do you know science shows the change a habit, it takes typically 21 days to change a habit and to start a new one. I'm hoping we start a new one today. Why? Why am I doing it? I want to attach God to it. Why? Because it's going to make me better so that I can serve God. I'm going to quit smoking because it's going to make me better so I can serve God. See, now listen, smoking doesn't send you to hell. It just makes you smell like you've been there. That's all. That's all. So listen, it ain't like the biggest sin. I'm not getting on anyone smoking. What I'm saying is you want to quit, attach God to it. See, because then the passion becomes, I want to serve God, and that passion rises up, and you say, God, give me that power. See, it isn't just, I just want to quit. I wish I could quit. So attach God to all of those things. Closing story is small things. Things that people do. Some of you probably have never heard of this guy. Some of you might have. In 1877, a guy by the name of Mordecai Ham was born. His name is Mordecai Ham. Who in the world is Mordecai Ham? That's the weirdest name I've ever heard. Is he from around here? Yeah, in the States. Mordecai Ham. He was a Baptist minister born in 1877 that would travel around and do the tent revivals. And I would like to submit, we should bring back tent revivals. Amen. Hey, young people, I'm just saying, dude, they're fun. I mean, serious. I mean, there's things you get done in the open air and not in the confines of a building and a church that just is awesome. You know, and God can do that. Amen? I mean, he just can. So he would go around, and he was this simple guy, Mordecai Ham, and he would preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, one of his tent revivals, there was a young man there. Young man was raised on a dairy farm in North Carolina. He was raised on a dairy farm in North Carolina. He came to this revival not knowing what was going on, this fire, brimstone preacher. Who is this guy? And he went to check it out as a young man. He was in North Carolina. Dairy farmer was his family. Lo and behold, he went down and he gave his life to Christ. And we know him today as Billy Graham. He's preached in over 185 countries. He's reached over 215 million people in his camps. That's not counting radio, TV, and other forms. Billy Graham, all because of another man following God's plan, Mordecai Ham. I submit to you this morning, can we be the Mordecai Ham of this city that preaches the gospel to maybe someone that walks out of here and literally leads millions of people to the world? I say yes. Do you say yes? I'm gonna pray and then we're gonna dismiss. What I'm gonna ask you to do, today you're here, and maybe you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. Well, I want you to know, many years ago, I did. I was a young man in need of Jesus Christ. I looked in the mirror one day and I was like, I don't like what I see. It's not fun anymore. I need a change in my life. And people had been around me. It was the Holy Spirit bombarding me with his love and his hope. And I gave my life to Christ, and it's never, ever been the same. I still remember sitting in a service one time as a young Baptist guy going to a Baptist church and hearing a young man speak. And I was very shy when I was young. I know that's hard for you to believe. Very shy. And I sat there with my wife and I thought, man, God, if you could give me the ability, I just feel this burning in my heart to be able to want to do what that guy is doing. He's changing lives. God, that's my heart. And it's never been the same. God will take you at your word if you take him at his.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.